Attachment to chanting the holy names of the Lord. In the same Krishna Karnamrita, there is another statement about the chanting of Radharani. It is said by one of the associates of Radharani, quote, O Lord Govinda, the girl who is the daughter of King Vrishabhanu is now shedding tears, and she is anxiously chanting your holy name, Krishna, Krishna, unquote. Eagerness to describe the Lord's transcendental qualities. Attachment for chanting the glories of the Lord is also expressed in the Krishna Karnamrita as follows, quote, What shall I do for Krishna, who is pleasing beyond all pleasurable conceptions, and who is naughtier than all restless boys? The idea of Krishna's beautiful activities is attracting my heart, and I do not know what I can do, unquote. Attraction for living in a place where Krishna has his pastimes. In the book Padyavali by Rupa Goswami, there is the following statement about Vrindavan. Quote, In this place, the son of Maharaj Nanda used to live with his father, who was king of all cowherd men. In this place, Lord Krishna broke the cart in which the Shakatasara demon was concealed. At this place, Damodar, who can cut the knot of our material existence, was tied up by his mother, Yashoda. Unquote. A pure devotee of Lord Krishna resides in the district of Mathura or Vrindavan and visits all the places where Krishna's pastimes were performed. At these sacred places, Krishna displayed his childhood activities with the cowherd boys and Mother Yashoda. The system of circumambulating all these places is still current among devotees of Lord Krishna, and those coming to Mathura and Vrindavan always feel transcendental pleasure. Actually, if someone goes to Vrindavan, he will immediately feel separation from Krishna, who performs such nice activities when he was present there. Such attraction for remembering Krishna's activities is known as attachment for Krishna. There are impersonalist philosophers and mystics, however, who by a show of devotional service want ultimately to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord. They sometimes try to imitate a pure devotee's sentiment for visiting the holy places where Krishna had his pastimes, but they simply have a view for salvation, and so their activities cannot be considered attachment. It is said by Rupa Goswami that the attachment exhibited by pure devotees for Krishna cannot possibly be perfected in the hearts of fruitive workers or karmis, or mental speculators, because such attachment in pure Krishna consciousness is very rare and not possible to achieve even for many liberated persons. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, liberation from material contamination is the stage at which devotional service can be achieved. For a person who simply wants to have liberation and to merge into the impersonal Brahmajyoti, attachment to Krishna is not possible to acquire. This attachment is very confidentially kept by Krishna and is bestowed only upon pure devotees. Even ordinary devotees cannot have such pure attachment for Krishna. Therefore, how is it possible for success to be achieved by persons whose hearts are contaminated by the actions and reactions of fruitive activities and who are entangled by various types of mental speculation? There are many so-called devotees who artificially think of Krishna's pastimes known as Ashtakalika Lila. Sometimes one may artificially imitate these, pretending that Krishna is talking with him in the form of a boy, or else one may pretend that Radharani and Krishna both have come to him and are talking with him. Such characteristics are sometimes exhibited by the impersonalist class of men, and they may captivate some innocent persons who have no knowledge in the science of devotional service. However, as soon as an experienced devotee sees all of these caricatures, he can immediately evaluate such rascaldom. If such a pretender is sometimes seen possessing imitative attachment to Krishna, that will not be accepted as real attachment. It may be said, however, that such attachment gives the pretender hope that he may eventually rise onto the actual platform of pure devotional service. This imitative attachment can be divided into two headings, namely shadow attachment and pada or transcendental attachment. If someone without undergoing the regulative principles of devotional service or without being guided by a bona fide spiritual master shows such imitative attachment, this is called shadow attachment. Sometimes it is found that a person actually attached to material enjoyment or salvation has the good fortune to associate with pure devotees while they are engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord. By the good grace of the Lord, one may also cooperate and join in the chanting. At that time, simply by the association of such pure devotees, the moon-like rays from their hearts reflect on him. And by the influence of the pure devotees, he may show some likeness of attachment caused by inquisitiveness, but this is very flickering. And if by the manifestation of such shadow attachment, one feels the disappearance of all material pangs, then it is called para attachment. Such shadow attachment or para attachment can develop if one associates with a pure devotee or visits holy places like Vrindavan or Mathura. And if an ordinary man develops such attachment for Krishna and fortunately performs devotional activities in the association of pure devotees, he can also rise to the platform of pure devotional service. The conclusion is that transcendental attachment is so powerful that if such attachment is seen manifested even in some common man by the association of a pure devotee, it can bring one to the perfectional stage. But such attachment for Krishna cannot be invoked in a person without his being sufficiently blessed by the association of pure devotees. As attachment can be invoked by the association of pure devotees, so attachment can also be extinguished by offenses committed at the lotus feet of pure devotees. To be more clear, by the association of pure devotees, attachment for Krishna can be aroused. But if one commits offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee, one's shadow attachment or para attachment can be extinguished. This extinguishing is like the waning of the full moon, which gradually decreases and at last becomes dark. One should therefore be very careful while associating with pure devotees to guard against committing an offense at their lotus feet. Transcendental attachment, either shadow or para, can be nullified by different degrees of offenses at the lotus feet of pure devotees. If the offense is very serious, then one's attachment becomes almost nil. And if the offense is not very serious, one's attachment can become second class or third class. If someone becomes attached to the principles of salvation or to merging into the existence of the Brahma Jyoti, his ecstasies gradually diminish into shadow and para attachment, or else transform into the principles of Ahangrahopasana. This Ahangrahopasana describes a living entity when he begins spiritual realization by identifying himself with the Supreme Lord. This state of self-realization is technically known as monism. The monist thinks himself one with the Supreme Lord. Thus, because he does not differentiate between himself and the Supreme Lord, it is his view that by worshiping himself, he is worshiping the Supreme Whole. Sometimes it is found that a neophyte is taking part in chanting and dancing very enthusiastically, but within himself he is under the impression that he has become one with the Supreme Whole. This conception of monism is completely different from pure transcendental devotional service. If, however, it is seen that a person has developed a high standard of devotion without having undergone even the regulative principles, it is to be understood that his status of devotional service was achieved in a former life. For some reason or another, it had been temporarily stopped, most probably by an offense committed at the lotus feet of a devotee. Now, with a good second chance, it has again begun to develop. The conclusion is that steady progress in devotional service can be attained only in the association of pure devotees. If one can gradually advance his status in devotional service, this is understood to be due to the causeless mercy of Krishna himself. If a person is completely detached from material enjoyment and has developed pure ecstatic devotion, even if he is sometimes accidentally found not living up to the standard of devotional service, one should not be envious of him. It is confirmed also in Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who has unflinching faith in and devotion to the Lord, even if sometimes found to be accidentally deviated from pure devotional characteristics, should still be counted among the pure. Unflinching faith in devotional service, in Lord Krishna, and in the spiritual master makes one highly elevated in the activities of devotional service. In the Nrsimha Purana it is stated, quote, "If a person has completely engaged his mind, body, and activities in the service of the Supreme Godhead, but externally he is found to be engaged in some abominable activities, these abominable activities will surely be very quickly vanquished by the influence of his staunch devotional force." Unquote. The example is given that on the full moon there are some spots which may appear to be pockmarks. Still, the illumination spread by the full moon cannot be checked. Similarly, a little fault in the midst of volumes of devotional service is not at all to be counted as a fault. Attachment for Krishna is transcendental bliss. Amid unlimited volumes of transcendental bliss, a spot of some material defect cannot act in any way. And now chapter 19, devotional service in pure love of God. When one's desire to love Krishna in one's particular relationship becomes intensified, this is known as pure love of Godhead. In the beginning, a devotee is engaged in the regulative principles of devotional service by the order of his spiritual master. When one thereby becomes completely purified of all material contamination, there develop an attachment and taste for devotional service. This taste and attachment, when gradually intensified in the course of time, become love. The word love can be actually applied only in relationship with the personality of Godhead. In the material world, love is not applicable at all. What goes on under the name of love in the material world is nothing but lust. There is a gulf of difference between love and lust, like the difference between gold and iron. In the Nanada Pancharatra, it is clearly stated that when lust is completely transferred to the Supreme Godhead, and the concept of kinship is completely reposed in him, such is accepted as pure love of God by great authorities like Bhishma, Prahlad, Uddhava, and Narad. Great authorities like Bhishma have explained that love of Godhead means completely giving up all so-called love for any other person. According to Bhishma, love means reposing one's affection completely upon one person, withdrawing all affinities for any other person. This pure love can be transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead under two conditions, out of ecstasy and out of the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Ecstasy. Ecstatic love of Godhead can be potently invoked simply by following the rules and regulations of devotional service as they are prescribed in scriptures under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. In the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 40 of Srimad Bhagavatam, this ecstatic love, born of the execution of regulative devotional service, is explained. Quote, "A devotee, in the course of executing the regulative principles of devotional service, develops his natural Krishna consciousness, and being thus softened at heart, he chants and dances like a madman. While performing chanting of the holy name of the Lord, he sometimes cries, sometimes talks wildly, sometimes sings, and sometimes, without caring for any outsider, dances like a madman." Unquote. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement about ecstatic love born of spontaneous affection. Chandrakanti, a celebrated fair-faced girl, rigidly observed celibacy in order to obtain Krishna as her husband. She always engaged herself in meditating on the transcendental form of the Lord and always chanted the glories of the Lord. She did not desire to accept anyone else as her husband. She had firmly decided that only Lord Krishna would be her husband. The Lord's extraordinary mercy. When a devotee is found to be always associated with the Lord in ecstatic love, it is to be understood that such a position has been awarded by the Lord Himself out of His causeless extraordinary mercy. An example of such extraordinary mercy is given in the 11th canto, 12th chapter, verse 7 of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, quote, "The gopis in Vrindavan did not study the Vedas to achieve me, nor had they ever been in holy places of pilgrimage, nor did they devoutly execute any regulative principle, nor did they undergo any kind of austerity. It is simply by my association that they have attained the highest perfection of devotional service." Unquote. From the example of Chandrakanti, as found in the Padma Purana, and from the example of the gopis, as found in Srimad Bhagavatam, it appears that a devotee who always thinks of Krishna and who always chants his glories in ecstatic love, regardless of his condition, will attain the highest perfection of unalloyed devotional love due to Lord Krishna's extraordinary mercy. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, If a person worships, adores, and loves Hari, the Supreme Lord, he should be understood to have finished all kinds of austerities, penances, and similar processes for self-realization. On the other hand, if after undergoing all types of austerities, penances, and mystic yoga practices, one does not develop such love for Hari, then all his performances are to be considered a useless waste of time. If someone always sees Krishna inside and out, then it is to be understood that he has surpassed all austerities and penances for self-realization. And if, after executing all kinds of penances and austerities, one cannot always see Krishna inside and out, then he has executed his performances uselessly. Unquote. Spontaneous attraction to Krishna, which is said to be due to the extraordinary mercy of the Lord, can be placed under two headings. One is profound veneration for the greatness of the Lord, and the other is one's being automatically attracted to Krishna without any extraneous consideration. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is said that if on account of profound veneration for the greatness of the Supreme Lord, one attains a great affection and steady love for him, one is certainly assured of attaining the four kinds of Vaishnava liberation, namely achieving the same bodily features as the Lord, achieving the same opulence as the Lord, dwelling on the planet where the Lord is residing, and attaining eternal association with the Lord. The Vaishnava liberation is completely different from the Mayavad liberation, which is simply a matter of being merged into the effulgence of the Lord. In the Narada Pancharatra, pure, unalloyed devotional service is explained as being without any motive for personal benefit. If a devotee is continuously in love with Lord Krishna, and his mind is always fixed upon him, that devotional attitude will prove to be the only means of attracting the attention of the Lord. In other words, a Vaishnava who is incessantly thinking of the form of Lord Krishna is to be known as a pure Vaishnava. Generally, a devotee who has achieved the causeless mercy of the Lord on account of following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service becomes attracted by the supreme greatness of the Lord, by the transcendental beauty of the Lord, and by the spontaneous execution of devotional service. To be more clear, by executing the regulative principles of devotional service, one can fully appreciate the transcendental beauty of the Lord. In any case, such exalted positions are possible only by the extraordinary mercy of the Lord upon the devotee. Association with pure devotees. Although many different processes for developing love of Godhead have been explained so far, Srila Rupa Goswami now gives us a general description of how one can best achieve such a high position. The beginning of ecstatic love of Godhead is basically faith. There are many societies and associations of pure devotees, and if someone with just a little faith begins to associate with such societies, his advancement to pure devotional service is rapid. The influence of a pure devotee is such that if someone comes to associate with him with a little faith, one gets the chance of hearing about the Lord from authoritative scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus, by the mercy of the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart, one gradually develops his faith in the descriptions of such authoritative scriptures. This is the first stage of association with pure devotees. In the second stage, after one becomes a little advanced and mature, he automatically offers to follow the principles of devotional service under the guidance of the pure devotee and accepts him as the spiritual master. In the next stage, under the guidance of the spiritual master, the devotee executes regulative devotional service, and as a result of such activities, he becomes freed from all unwanted occupations. When he is freed from unwanted occupations, his faith becomes steadily fixed, and he develops a transcendental taste for devotional service, then attachment, then ecstasies, and in the last stage, there is pure love of Godhead. These are the different stages of the development of pure love. Only the most fortunate persons can achieve such success in life. Those who are simply academic students of the Vedic scriptures cannot appreciate how such a development takes place. In the Narada Pancharatra, Lord Shiva therefore tells Parvati, quote, "My dear Supreme Goddess, you may know from me that any person who has developed the ecstasy of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who is always merged in transcendental bliss on account of this love, cannot even perceive the material distress or happiness coming from the body or mind." Unquote. The affection and the dealings of love that are different branches of the original tree of love precede many varieties of affectionate manifestations that will not be discussed here. These different manifestations have been described by Sanatana Goswami in his Bhagavatamrita. Although the subject of such affections and dealings of love is very confidential, Sanatana Goswami has described them very explicitly. Sri Rupa Goswami thus concludes the first division of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, offering up his treatise for the transcendental pleasure of Sanatana Goswami, who has established the transcendental beauty, and of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami. It appears from this statement that the great Srila Jiva Goswami was not yet active when Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was written. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta summary study of the first division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu up to the descriptions of ecstatic love of Godhead, which are to follow next. And now part 2, chapter 20, Transcendental Mellow. In this second division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the author offers his respectful obeisances unto Sanatana. This Sanatana can be interpreted as either Sri Krishna himself or as Sanatana Goswami, the elder brother and spiritual master of Rupa Goswami. In the case where Sanatana is accepted to mean Sri Krishna, the obeisances are offered to Krishna because he is naturally so beautiful and because he is the killer of the demon Aga. If it is interpreted to mean Sanatana Goswami, then it is because he is so greatly favored by Rupa Goswami, being always served by him, and because he is the annihilator of all kinds of sinful activities. In this division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the author wants to describe the general symptoms of the transcendental mellow or loving mood of discharging devotional service. In this division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are five general topics. 1. Vibhava, special symptoms or causes of ecstasy. 2. Anubhava, subsequent ecstasy. 3. Sattvika Bhava, constitutional or existential ecstasy. 4. Vyabhachari Bhava, aggressive ecstasy. And 5. Stayi Bhava, fervent or continuous ecstasy. The word rasa, used in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is understood by different persons differently, because the exact English equivalent is very difficult to find. But as we have seen our spiritual master translate this word rasa into mellow, we shall follow in his footsteps and also translate the word in that way. The particular loving mood or attitude relished in the exchange of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called rasa or mellow. The different types of rasa, when combined together, help one to taste the mellow of devotional service in the highest degree of transcendental ecstasy. Such a position, although entirely transcendental to our experience, will be explained in this section as far as possible, following in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. Without relishing some sort of mellow or loving mood in one's activities, no one can continue to perform such activities. Similarly, in the transcendental life of Krishna consciousness and devotional service, there must be some mellow or specific taste from the service. Generally, this mellow is experienced by chanting, hearing, worshiping in the temple, and being engaged in the service of the Lord. So when a person feels transcendental bliss, that is called relishing the mellow. To be more clear, we may understand that the various feelings of happiness derived from discharging devotional service may be termed the mellows of devotional service. This relishing of transcendental mellow in discharging devotional service cannot be experienced by all classes of men, because this sweet loving mood is developed only from one's previous life's activities or by the association of unalloyed devotees. As explained above, association with pure devotees is the beginning of faith in devotional service. Only by developing such faith in the association of a pure devotee, or by having in one's previous life executed devotional activities, can one actually relish the mellow of devotional service. In other words, this transcendental bliss is not to be enjoyed by any common man unless he is so extraordinarily fortunate as to be in association with devotees or to be continuing his previous birth's devotional activities. The gradual process of development to the stage of devotional service is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, quote, "The beginning is to hear about Lord Krishna in the association of devotees who have themselves cleansed their hearts by association. Hearing about the transcendental activities of the Lord will result in one's feeling transcendental bliss always," unquote. It is also explained in Bhagavad Gita that for one who has actually come to the spiritual platform, the first symptom visible will be that he is always joyful. This joyous life is attained by one's reaction to reading Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, or else from associating with persons who are very interested in the spiritual life of Krishna consciousness, specifically those who have made the determination to achieve the favor of Govinda by being engaged in transcendental loving service at his lotus feet. Being encouraged by such a feeling, one who is constantly engaged in discharging the regulative principles of devotional service in such a way as to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, develops two principles of compelling force, which come under the heading of vibhava. Thus one enjoys transcendental bliss. There are several origins or causes for this compulsive love for Krishna, such as Krishna himself, the devotees of Krishna, and Krishna's playing on the flute. The effect is sometimes loving and sometimes stunted. There are 8 transcendental symptoms found in the body during ecstasy, and all of them are possible only by a mixture of the above-mentioned 5 ecstatic divisions. Without some mixture of these 5 ecstatic principles, one cannot relish transcendental bliss. The cause or basis for relishing transcendental mellow is exactly what we mean by vibhava. This vibhava is divided into 2, namely basic and impelling, or impetus-giving. In the Agni Purana, the description of vibhava is given as follows, quote, "The basis from which ecstatic love is born is called vibhava, which is divided into 2, basic and impelling," unquote. In other words, there are 2 kinds of ecstatic love. The object of basic ecstatic love is Krishna and his devotee. Lord Krishna is the object of basic ecstatic love, and his pure devotee, a reservoir of such love, is the object of impelling ecstatic love. Impelling ecstatic love, then, is that love which develops when one sees an object which reminds him of Krishna. Lord Krishna, who is the possessor of inconceivable potencies and qualities of transcendental knowledge and bliss, is the basic cause of ecstatic love. Lord Krishna also becomes the reservoir or impetus of ecstatic love by his different incarnations and expansions. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement in connection with the Brahma Vimohana Lila, which demonstrates something of this impelling or impetus-giving feature of ecstatic love. When Brahma was deluded by Krishna, who expanded himself into so many cowherd boys, calves, and cows, Krishna's elder brother, Sri Baladev, a direct expansion of Krishna himself, felt astonishment and said, quote, "How wonderful it is that my ecstatic love for Krishna is again being attracted to so many cowherd boys, calves, and cows," unquote. He was struck with wonder by thinking in this way. This is one of the examples in which Krishna himself becomes the object and reservoir of ecstatic love in the impelling aspect. Janapriyam priyakaram nirmasaram pujitam nana shastra vicharanai kanipunam. And now chapter 21, qualities of Sri Krishna. Lokanam hitakaranam tribhuvane Manam Saranyakanam Nana Sasarikaranikanam. Personal features can be divided into 2. One feature is covered, and the other feature is manifested. When Krishna is covered by different kinds of dress, his personal feature is covered. There is an example of his covered personal feature in Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with his Dwarka Lila, or his residence in Dwarka as its king. Sometimes Lord Krishna began to play by dressing himself like a woman. Seeing this form, Uddhava said, quote, How wonderful it is that this woman is attracting my ecstatic love, exactly as Lord Krishna does. I think she must be Krishna covered by the dress of a woman. Unquote. One devotee praised the bodily features of Krishna when he saw the Lord in his manifested personal feature. He exclaimed, quote, "How wonderful is the personal feature of Lord Krishna! How his neck is just like a conch shell! His eyes are so beautiful, as though they themselves were encountering the beauty of a lotus flower. His body is just like a tamal tree, very blackish. His head is protected with a canopy of hair. There are the marks of Sri Vatsa on his chest, and he is holding his conch shell. By such beautiful bodily features, the enemy of the demon Madhu has appeared so pleasing that he can bestow upon me transcendental bliss simply by my seeing his transcendental qualities." Unquote.